对。And let us all hear the word of the Lord. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and shall make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Amen. We'll end our reading at the verse 40 of Luke to the chapter 12. Tonight we're going to focus our attention upon one particular verse in this chapter, the words of verse 40. A word of instruction, a commandment from the Lord himself. Verse 40 says, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. With God's word open, let's just bow very briefly in a word of prayer. Gracious God and eternal Father, we thank thee tonight for the blessed hope and the confidence that we have in the person and work of the Son of God. We think of how the Apostle Paul could stare death in the face, and he was able to say, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We bless thee that for the Christian death indeed is gain. It means to go to be forever with Christ, which is far better. And we thank thee for the hope, that blessed consolation that we have in the gospel of our Savior. We thank thee, Lord, that when preparation is made, that, Lord, that we are ready to meet thee. We pray for any in this service who as yet are not converted, who know not Christ as Savior. Lord, may thy word come with power to their hearts this very evening. May they be conscious that they stand in tremendous need, in need of God's salvation, in need of the Spirit of God to quicken them. Yea, Lord, in need of thee to move in their hearts. Lord, we pray that thou wilt work in souls this very evening. O gracious Father, we look to thee, that in everything Jesus Christ may have the preeminence. Hear and answer prayer in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Great events require great preparation. No matter what the event is in the natural affairs of life, man has always seen the need for good and thorough preparation. Consider, for instance, the world of sport. Already preparations are underway for the 2012 Olympic Games. A 500-acre site is already currently being developed to provide an Olympic stadium in London's East End. World-class aquatic centre, diving pools, hockey stadiums, velo park, an Olympic village being constructed, and a place to provide accommodation for the competitors and officials. Preparations have already been made with regards to the transportation network.
That network aiming at bringing up to nearly 250,000 people per hour to the stadium, whether that is by tube, by train, bus, and various other means. And there's a huge security operation. A ring of steel has been cast around the games. Stadiums will be built. Security arrangements made. Services and facilities organized. No expense spared. No provision, you see, considered to be too great a matter or too much trouble. Adequate and thorough preparation is essential. Think of the political world. The party or person seeking election must have all of their preparation completed by polling day. Vast areas will be canvassed, people spoken to on a personal or an individual basis. Posters will be erected, campaigns will be carried out. And the person or party seeking election who does not carry out that essential preparation simply will not get the vote. Preparation, you see, is essential. Concerning the natural affairs of life, we all make preparation for various events. Consider the preparation and the time that goes into a marriage and also the expense. Every detail is looked at. In fact, I've heard some of the most finest details being discussed and talked about at weddings. I remember actually hearing about people making comment about the bride and the colour of her shoelaces. Amazing. Right down to the very smallest of details. Sad to say, for the bridegroom, all the attention that day, like it or not, will go to the bride. How well she looks. How well she is attired. You see, for that great day, nothing will be considered too much trouble. No thorough preparation. Oftentimes years of preparation will be needed. Think of the area of education. Young people who spend many, many years of hard labour and work, toiling, years of study. Why? Young people are seeking to prepare for later life. Regarding the uncertainties of life, many people have their houses insured, a wise thing. Some have their will drawn up and made many years before their life expires. In fact, some people even have gone to the area of looking at their funeral expenses, and perhaps funeral preparations are already discussed and they're already made. A burying plot chosen and bought, etc. In a sense, men and women prepared for life's uncertainties. And let me say that in many of these areas, preparation is essential. Preparation is necessary. However, let me say that there are greater and more solemn events to happen in this world than those that we have already been speaking about. Our text speaks of one of those great events yet to take place. The second coming, the second advent of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, when the Savior shall return in power and in glory. You see, whilst man has learned the need for preparation in life, tragically, he has most certainly not learned the need for preparation for death. While much emphasis is placed upon the body and the things of this life, how little time is given and preparation is made for the soul. You see, the greatest preparation that any man or woman or young person can make is that for eternity. Preparation to meet God. Preparation for the Savior's return. And tonight, I want us to consider the greatest of all preparations. Preparation to meet the Lord. Hear the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, said in verse 40, "Be ye therefore ready." Be ye therefore ready. Consider here, first of all, the need for preparation. The Scriptures clearly teach the visible, personal return of our Lord Jesus Christ. His second coming is of paramount importance. The Lord's return can never, I say never, be overemphasized. It is what we would term as one of our fundamentals to the Christian faith. In other words, you cannot be a Christian and deny or reject the second coming of Jesus Christ. No, it is of fundamental importance. Mind you, it is tragic to think that the world in which we live gives little or no time or no thought or consideration to the second advent of Jesus Christ. Aye, multitudes are living as if there will be no second advent. As if Christ will never return. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Word of God reminds us that he will return again. Speaking to his disciples before he would go to the cross, the Lord Jesus in John 14 in those words brought them assurance and comfort by the words, I will come again. My friend, we can be sure and we can be certain that what Christ has promised, so he will fulfill. When the Lord Jesus himself has said, I will come again, so he shall. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13. The Savior also said, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Luke chapter 12, here in our portion, verse 40, we read, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh. Maybe you as an individual have given little or no consideration, no thought to the second advent of Jesus Christ. The very way that you go about your life and you direct your business, etc., you have not got Christ's second return in mind or in view. You haven't really thought about this great reality. But my friend, you need to prepare to meet God because Jesus Christ is coming back to this world. He will return in power and in great glory. It is sure, it is certain the Savior will come again. Therefore, on that basis, you need to prepare to meet him. You need to prepare to meet him because of the certainty of his return, but also you need to prepare to meet him because of the sinfulness of your heart. You dare not meet the Lord the way you are. And that is because, as a sinner, your life is unacceptable to God. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, if you'd like to turn to that portion, please. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Here we read about the law being our schoolmaster. Just as the school teacher will bring the student to the blackboard, take a chalk and write on the board and instruct and teach the children. So we read here in Galatians 3, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. You see, the law of God teaches us that God is holy, that God is righteous, that God is just. The law of God teaches us of God's high, his inflexible standard. It teaches us that as God, the Lord does not just overlook sin and simply bypass sin. No, God is infinitely holy and righteous. He cannot look upon sin. He must punish sin. The Word of God, the law of God teaches us that without holiness no man shall see God. The law of God teaches us the grounds of acceptance before God. The sinner therefore stands condemned under the law of God. The law of God reminds us and tells us and teaches us that God is holy, he is righteous, and that man is sinful, he is depraved, and he is immoral. The sinner therefore stands as one in great need, condemned under the law of God guilty beyond any doubt. And as such, stands with a life that is unacceptable to God. The sinner stands as one who is unapproachable to God. That is why you need to prepare to meet God. My friend, you dare not. I plead with you, you dare not meet God the way you are. You dare not approach God the way you are, for if you do, you will perish. In the book of Isaiah chapter 59, we read that our iniquities and our sins have separated between us and God. It teaches us to the fact, the reality, that we cannot approach God as sinners on the grounds of our sinful nature. Remember, in the Old Testament, of the time that the Ark of God was being transported, there upon the cart and the oxen, of course, were drawing that cart along the road. David and his men were going forth before the ark, and something caused that ark to be upset. The balance tipped. The ark of God began to fall from the cart, and we read of a man called Uzzah. And Uzzah stretched forth his hand. He only desired that the ark would not be damaged. He only desired, he was sincere, that no harm would come to it. And the moment that he placed his hand upon the ark, that moment, he died. David was upset. Why did this have to happen? You see, God was going, and he was, in effect, showing his people and teaching the people, he is holy. And that as man approaches God, he cannot come just any way that he desires, any way that he wills. No, he must come God's divinely appointed way. And let me say, at this juncture, there is no other way to come to God than through Jesus Christ. He is the only way to God. Dear friend, tonight you need to prepare to meet the Lord. Because as a sinner, you're unacceptable to God. Because you cannot approach the Lord the way you are. Because your heart, your life is unclean before the Lord. In the book of Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, we read, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." And I want you to stop tonight. I want you to stop. If you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, please stop and think about the seriousness of your heart's condition. Think about your standing before the holy God of heaven this very night. That the Word of God says of your heart and of your life that you are unclean before God. The Word of God says of the sinner that they are spiritually deceived, for they have fail to see the true condition of their heart and their standing before the Lord. The Word of God teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And know that tonight that men and women would have a fear, a dread, a holy fear of meeting God, of standing before God in the judgment. And how the devil has blinded many eyes and many minds. Man lost in sin does not see his spiritual need. The sinner is one who is spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. And as a corpse has no breath, no life, no feeling, that is just a picture of your state before God. The sinner is one who is spiritually depraved, constantly, continually sinning against God in thought and word and in deed. What a terrible state before a holy God. You need to prepare to meet the Lord because it is sure, it is certain, Jesus Christ shall return. You need to prepare to meet the Lord because of the sinfulness of your heart. You need to prepare to meet the Lord because you do not know what tomorrow holds. Revelation chapter 22 and the verse 20, we read the words spoken by the Savior himself, surely I come quickly. You see, the second advent, Christ's return, is not only sure, but it will be sudden. At an hour, at a time, at a moment, when you think not. I remember hearing about a preacher who was preaching on this particular portion to his congregation, a small congregation, and as he was preaching, he decided to go around the people one by one, and he would stop with them and ask them if they thought that Christ would return this very night. And he began to go around the congregation. He said, "Ma'am," he said, "tell me, do you believe Jesus Christ will return tonight?" "I think not." "And you, sir, do you believe that Jesus Christ could return tonight?" "Ah, preacher, I think not." And after he went round them all, one by one, then he quoted the text, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." So it shall be. That suddenly, quickly, Christ will come. There is another sense in which Christ comes to men and women, not only at his second advent, but also through death. You see, whether at his coming, or if you pass through the veil of Jordan, through the cold waters of death, one thing is certain. Meet God, you will. Tell me, does that thought of the reality that you will meet God, does it not strike fear and terror into your heart? As you think of the fact that you are a sinner and God is holy. Meet God, you will. You see, man has this reasoning that he is indestructible and invincible, and yet in reality he is but dust of the ground. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You see, there is an appointment that we must all keep, self included. That appointment has been made in the divine calendar. A day, an hour, a minute, a second, whenever God will call us each one out into eternity if Christ tarries. Oftentimes appointments are made with the best intentions of keeping them. I think we all know that due to unforeseen circumstances we may have to rearrange a time, rearrange the appointment. Due to some unforeseen circumstance, here is an appointment that will not be cancelled. Here is an appointment that will not be changed. Here is an appointment when we will be called, all of us called, to stand before the Lord. After this, after what? After death, the judgment. Let's be clear about it. The atheist will stand before God. The unbeliever will stand before God. The Christ rejecter, the infidel, they will all stand before God. The rich, the poor will all stand before God. Tell me, you've been making preparations in life. Perhaps even lately, I don't know, you've been busy making preparations lately. Employment, marriage, education. Tell me, have you made the greatest of all preparations? Are you prepared to meet the Lord? Can I ask you further, if you haven't prepared, why not? Why not? What is more valuable than your precious soul. Your soul that will live on forever and forever in eternity. You know, whenever we weigh up the issues of life, there are a few things that really matter. Oftentimes, speaking to young people in schools, I've challenged them to take out a pen and a piece of paper and to write down what really matters in life. You'll soon find that it's a very short list. For in the light of God's eternity and the judgment, how few things really matter. Oftentimes, reading through obituary columns, you will read these words: died suddenly. And the thought there been intimated is that death came quickly. It was unexpected. It was so quick. There was no time given. And tell me if death was to come to you suddenly, where will your soul be in eternity? Preparation can only be made this side of eternity. Let me be clear about that. You can only prepare now in this life on earth. As a tree falls, so it shall die. And if you die as an unsaved man or woman, so forever you will be lost, unsaved. Lost in hell. You therefore need to prepare to meet the Lord. Let's also consider the nature of preparation. The Lord Jesus here said, "Be ye therefore ready also." Well, how can a man or woman be prepared to meet the Lord? Some perhaps will even say tonight that as far as they're concerned, they are ready because after all, they've not killed anybody. They've not committed some great evil, some great crime. They're as good as anybody else. Well, so you are. For we're all sinners in the sight of a holy God. The Word of God teaches us that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. I feel that oftentimes people are of the opinion, well, when they go out and they stand before God, that they have this picture in their mind's eye that the Lord will take out a great set of weighing scales and He will weigh their life. And on one side, He will weigh their life with all of its good works and its good labors and being good, etc. And that somehow things will just balance out and God will forgive you and God will accept you. Well, my friend, let me say this. That even if God was to take out a set of weighing scales and God was to weigh your life, you would be found wanting. Aye, we all would. Because we do not have any good works to place on those weighing scales. We do not have any righteousness before God. You see, there are many who have the false hope of being respectable. They believe that by being a respectable person, by being a good neighbor, etc., that will prepare them for eternity. Well, it won't. How many there are, and they have their hope and their whole future and their eternity based upon the rituals and the religion of the church. What a false hope that is. Job asked the question. What a question he asked. He asked, how can a man be just with God? How can man that is sinful, that is depraved, how can man be just? How can he be accepted by a holy God? Maybe the question you're asking tonight is, how can I, a lost sinner, be accepted by God? The Word of God gives us the answer. The answer is found alone in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For His life and His death have fulfilled all the requirements of the law of God and the strict justice of God. The law of God, you see, demands a perfect life. In order to be accepted, a perfect life. Jesus Christ lived that perfect life. He did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. The Lord Jesus Christ, by the virtue of that impeccable life, that sinless life, And by that atoning death that he died at the cross at Calvary, he purchased an everlasting salvation for sinners. Christ has provided the remedy for man's need for his sin. How can a man be just with God? It is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that blood cleanseth us from all sin. The Son of God died as a sinner substitute. Praise God for the many in this service tonight who can say, he took my place. And he died for me. Oh, he died, the Holy One, for me, the unholy. He died, the just one, for me, the unjust. He died, the righteous one, for me, the unrighteous. Why? That through his life and through his death, he would reconcile me to God. Salvation is not in the church. Salvation is not in confirmation. Salvation is not in baptism. It is in Christ. And in Christ alone. The only way you can prepare to meet God is through Christ. By calling upon the name of the Lord and being saved. By turning from your sin and embracing Jesus Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In closing, I want us to think here of the neglect of preparation. Here the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." There needs to be preparation made. Preparation made this side of eternity. Return with me, please, to Matthew chapter 24. Here we read about the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, in power and in glory. Matthew chapter 24, and the verse 40. Verse 40 reads, "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." One taken, one left. One prepared, one unprepared. One saved, one lost. What does it mean to feel in this area? To feel, to prepare, to meet the Lord. Well, let me say that it is really beyond our human comprehension. For we, and I must confess, I cannot put into words what it would mean for you to go out into eternity unsaved and stand before God. To face God in the judgment, unacceptable to God because of your sin, unforgiven, unclean, uncleansed. I've often thought of what a day that will be for vast multitudes in this world, whenever the Lord himself shall return in power and glory, and the Lord himself shall separate the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats, the saved from the unsaved. Aye, the Lord himself, he'll separate a mother from her child, a brother from a sister, a husband from a wife. Can we really comprehend what it is to stand before God unsaved? A day of separation. A day of sorrow and suffering. When his hairs will be gathered together into bundles and they'll be burned. Hell's a real place, you know. The Word of God speaks of that place as being a place of unquenchable fire. A place of outer darkness. A place of weeping and wailing, of gnashing of teeth. A place where the worm doth not. Eternity, you see, is irreversible. That's why you need to prepare. You need to prepare now. Before Abraham Lincoln was president of the United States of America, he was employed as a judge. He tells a story of how one day he was out in the countryside. Whilst out in the countryside, he noticed it was a young man who was plowing a field with a team of horses. Something disturbed those team of horses, and they started to go down the field at great speed. The young man, in trying to stop them, somehow he became entangled. I think it was his jacket became entangled in one of the harnesses of the horses. And they were dragging him there down the field at tremendous pace and speed, no doubt to his death. Abraham Lincoln spoke of how he, with haste, got into that field. He headed straight into the pathway of those horses, and there he threw out his arms, bringing them to a stop, and in reality saving and sparing the life of that young man. It was some 10 years later that that young man committed the heinous crime of murder. He was brought to court to be sentenced. No doubt his heart would have lifted as not only the jury, but the judge came through the door. It was none other than Abraham Lincoln, the man who had spared him that day. The trial went forth. At the end of the trial, Abraham Lincoln asked the young man to stand to his feet. He said, "Young man, for the crime of murder, I sentence you to death." The young man said, "Sir, don't you realize who it is? Don't you recognize me? Don't you remember the day in the field that you spared my life?" To which Lincoln stood back, no doubt pondering that day and thinking of that occasion. Then he stood forth and he looked the young man in the eye and he said, "Young man, that day I stood before you as your Savior. But today I stand before you as judge." He said, "Young man, I can do none other than pass righteous and fair justice upon you." He said, "Young man, I sentence you to death." It's recorded of how that young man was literally dragged out of that courtroom, screaming, wailing, led to his death. Tonight, dear sinner friend, Jesus Christ stands before you, and he stands before you as Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He is the only mediator. He is the only way to God. The only way you can prepare to meet God is through Christ, by receiving Christ as Savior. But let me make it very clear. If you reject Christ as Savior, in eternity, before the judgment bar of God, Jesus Christ can only and will only be your judge. You see, there's no salvation before the judgment bar of God. There's no Savior. There's no second chance. No man now must repent. God commands all men everywhere to repent. The question is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Have you made preparation? If not, come to Christ tonight. Cry to God for mercy. Oh God, I realize, I admit that I'm a sinner. Lord, save me. Christ will save you. You'll be prepared and ready to meet the Lord. In closing, let's just turn to the hymn.